Jonah don't look like he's liking that too good, does he? We are so happy to have everyone that's here this morning, especially if you're visiting with us. And again, sincerely, we hope that you'll come back here. If you're not going to church regular anywhere, and worship with us here at Mount Zion. Just a word before we get into the lesson today about our float. Heard a lot of good comments about our float this past week from people in other churches and commending us for the float and all the effort that it took to put everything together, and then also going taking it all the way to Smith's Grove. So it's sort of been seen, I think, by a lot of people, and that's really reaching out to the community and to others and everything. I'm convinced that one of the hardest things that we have to do as Christians is to reach out to people. It's a hard thing to do. If you don't have an extrovert personality, the very idea of reaching out to somebody else in an invitational way is difficult for us to do sometimes. And I want to start this morning, and the scripture that we're going to start with is Abraham. And I know I've got Jonah and the whale up here, but I want to really start with Abraham, because here's what God said to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, but really going through verse 4. But God said this to him. He said, get thee out of thy country. Get thee out of thy country. Now, you have to remember that that Abraham was 75 years old. Today, when I think of that, I'm pushing it. I'll be there telling you that I did it. And I'll be there in a few years to 75. And I really find that this mind boggling that God would approach a man when he's 75 years old and say, get thee out of thy country and come into a place that I'll show thee. It would be difficult. Now, if you're 25, that'd be another story. And maybe, I don't know, maybe 45. But at 75, because usually by 75, if we tell ourselves the truth, we're kind of winding down in life. And this is what he says for him to do, get thee out of thy country. And so I want to use that this morning, and I want to challenge you this morning to do what God asked Abraham to do. You think about Abraham, now here he is in Ur of the Galilee. He's been there all his life, born and raised there. That's where his family is. That's where his friends are. That's where his means of livelihood is. Everything that Abraham really knows is in Ur of the Galilee. So God's saying to him, I don't want you to be here. I want you to be over here in a different place. And I know that Abraham was a great man of faith, but it's almost impossible for me to think that Abraham didn't have some qualms about it. Not that he didn't do it, because he certainly did. And to move into a place hundreds of miles away, get thee out of thy country. And so what I've done this morning, I've just removed the country, and I've got the word box up here. Because I really think that that's where you and I live. I think we live in a box. And we live in this box. And that's where we're comfortable. Now this is a far cry from where the Galilee is. But let's look at the box, really, for what it is. Let's recognize the box for what it is. The box that we live in is our comfort zone. And as long as we can remain in that box, we're pretty happy. And the box that we have, the box that we live in, it's that very small area of our lives where no one else can intrude. How many of us, and if you're anything at all like me, and my wife can tell you a whole lot more than you might know, but when I go in the house at night, and I shut the door, and I sit down in that recliner, it's almost like I'm in my box. And I really don't want any intruders The day's over, and I'm ready to relax and rest, not kick up the crying back. And tell you the truth, I don't even want to answer the telephone. She does about 99% of answering the telephone. So if you call and want me, that's fine. But it's going to upset my box a little bit. And this box that we live in, it's comfortable. It's snug. It's warm. It's cozy. And it feels like that all the rest of the world is just shut out. The problem is sometimes that we're afraid to get out of this box. We don't reach out to other people. And that box is not just the house that we live in or the recliner that we sit in. It's not just the yard around the house, but it's the way that we live a lot of times. It's difficult to reach out. And I sympathize with what God said to Abraham. He said, get thee out of thy country. And I'm saying to you this morning that we've got to get out of the box. We've got to reach out to people. Now, what we did this past week was the third way to reach out to other people. But our world as Christians is not in the four walls of this building. It's not, this church is not our box. This is not where we live according to God's plan. We have to reach out to other people. We've got this idea sometimes as Christians. Well, I've been baptized for the remission of sins. I've become a child of God. I'm coming to church. I meet around the Lord's table. We sing. We have prayer and everything. That's my box. I'm comfortable doing that. And we even go so far sometimes, at least I do, not speaking myself, that anything else that gets added to it or gets changed just a little bit, we don't feel quite comfortable with because it may be outside of the box. Most of the places where I go preach, now, what they do before the sermon, it's the way they work. Have two songs in prayer, another song in preaching. And almost anywhere you go, they don't deviate from that very much. And I wonder how that ever came to be. But lo and behold, if you went someplace and had one song and then a prayer and then two songs in preaching, boy, that'd be something else. Somebody say, oh, hold it here. What's happening in my box? They're not comfortable with it. And I find it a little uncomfortable because that's not what I'm used to. That's not my box. Went someplace and preached here a while back, and they had the Lord's Supper before they had preached. And boy, did that ever throw me a curve. That ever throw me a curve because it sort of got me off my stride. I didn't know when I was supposed to get in the pulpit. So I kept looking at the song later and say, when's my time? When you, because it sort of messed me up. And there's a lot of places that do that. A lot of places that do it. But that's outside of the box in some cases. So we have to recognize the box for what it is. Now, Jonah, that's what we're going to talk about this morning, not Abraham. But Jonah lived in a little box. And Jonah was a prophet. And Jonah's box was Israel. And that's where he was snug, and he was warm, and he was comfortable. And as long as he was in Israel, kind of like we're in a building at Mount Zion, as long as he was in Israel, everything was fine. But God came to him one day, just like he did to Abraham, and he told Jonah, he said, get thee out of thy box. Now we're kind of paraphrasing. He said, what I want you to do is go to Nineveh and tell those people at Nineveh, if they don't repent, they're going to be destroyed. Guess what? He was outside of Jonah's box. First of all, he didn't know those people up in Nineveh. He'd never been there. They weren't Israelites. They weren't the same kind of people that he was. And I think sometimes, I think sometimes that we don't get out of our box because we're like Jonah because that was out of his comfort zone. That's what a box is, it's a comfort zone. And Jonah didn't want to go. Now, it's like me or Ellis asking you this morning to reach out to somebody and say, if our people come to church, and we say to ourselves, I don't know if I do that. That's not me. Invite people to come to church. Tell them to come to church at Mount Zion. Here's gospel prayers. So they can have fellowship, they worship together. So I'm like, well, what do you just mean? That's outside my box. I don't know if I'd be ready or not. That's just not what I do. Boy, I'm sure glad to have the same down hell that way. I admire it. Now, but we've got people right here at Mount Zion where we can't reach outside that box. Well, it's a good way to do it. Now, but if we can call people, if we can see people, or just enlighten people, just step away from our box just a little bit and say, come to church at Mount Zion. You see those numbers change up there on the wall. We've got room for 200 people in this auditorium. And with numbers like that right there, it means we're not half full. Not even half full. And we got more room than that. That's the reason we built the pocket doors over there. We put a lot more chairs up. But we ain't got this little kid. We could have if we just get out of the box a little bit. We have to recognize the box for what it is. And that's reaching out to other people. Jonah didn't want to do that. The Bible says that he went the opposite direction. He was supposed to go to Nineveh, and Nineveh was east, and he went west. He went down to a little town called Joppa, and he found a ship there, and the ship, had no business on the ship, but that's where he went, and that's what happens to us sometimes. But we have to recognize the ship for what it is. And the ship that he got on was going, was taking him in a different direction. I'm afraid today our ship, our Christian ship, takes us in a different direction than where God wants us to go, simply because we're afraid to get out of the box. And so Jonah gets in the ship. I get out in the ocean. We know now that's the Mediterranean ocean. When he gets out there, there's a storm that comes up. And so what I want to look at for the next few minutes is about this ship, what a ship really is. And so I jotted down a few ideas or a few thoughts about what the ship is, if we recognize what the ship is. Well, our ship sometimes, it symbolizes escape. That's what it did for Jonah. But Jonah must have thought this. He must have thought when he got down there, this ain't a bad idea. Because maybe any other time he might have had to waited for a ship. But when Jonah got down to the seashore there, there was a ship already waiting. And he must have said to himself, luck is on my side. Luck is on my side. This is going to be fine, even though God told me to go in a different direction. Ship was already there. And sometimes our box is our ship. It's our independence. It's going the way that we want to. And we've got sometimes a false perception of the ship. Our ship can be our home. It can be our job. Our ship can be our circle of friends, the people that we normally associate with. It can also, our ship can be the church. If our mindset is that the church, all the church means to me is me. My family and the people that's there right now, we've got a misconception of what the ship is. We've got a misconception of what the church is. The church needs to be bigger and better. It's not just us that's here this morning. It's bigger and better than that. So we have to recognize it for what it is. But when he gets out there for a little while, as safe as he might seem on this ship, it's not very long till there's a storm comes up. And so we need to make sure that we understand what the storm is about. We have to recognize the storm for what it is. I was told about a man one time that he had a mule, and his mule got sick and couldn't work, and so he went and borrowed his neighbor's mule. And he took the mule home, and he harnessed him and got him out there to work and everything. The mule didn't do anything at all. He'd just stand there. Wouldn't work. Wouldn't do anything. So he goes back to his neighbor and he said, what's the matter with that mule? He won't do anything. He won't work. He won't walk. He won't pull. He won't do anything. And he said, I forgot to tell you. He said, you got to hit him upside the head the two before and get his attention. And then he'll go to work. And so he tried that, and the mule, no problem, went right to work. Didn't have any more problem with him. And I think about all the people in the Bible that God had to hit them upside the head of the two before he got their attention. We have to understand the storm for what it is. If we didn't have storms in life, what would we do for God?
What kind of a relationship would we have for God if it wasn't some storms in our life from time to time? Let me tell you about a few people that was like this. The storm is what got Jonah's attention. If there hadn't been a storm, do you think that Jonah would have ever turned around and went back to Nineveh like God told him? Certainly not. He'd have went on to Tarshish, where he's going. But the storm got his attention. And sometimes there has to be storms in our lives before God gets our attention. After the storm was over, we see that God got Jonah's attention, and he went on to Nineveh and did what God told him to start with. You know what got Peter's attention? It was a rooster crowing. That's what got his attention. After he had denied Jesus three times, Jesus had told him, he said, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you'll deny me three times. And Peter just knew it wasn't so. He just didn't believe God, but when he heard the rooster crow, he knew it was so then, so that's what got his attention. You know what got David's attention? Out of all the sins that David committed, what got his attention was when that prophet Nathan came in there and said, "Thou art the man." That got his attention. Thou art the man. Not this rich man that you heard about that was killed the sheep of the poor man, served it to a stranger, but he said, "You're the man. You're the one." That's what got his attention. And so sometimes God has to get our attention. And then the fourth point is that we have to recognize the fish or the whale for what it is. Now in the book of Jonah, King James Version, it calls it a fish. In Matthew, it says it's a whale, and I don't know that it makes any difference at all. So far as the story goes, it was big enough to swallow Jonah, but we have to recognize it for what it is. There's a story about a man one time that was, his house was on kind of low ground, and it come a big rain, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained, and his house began to flood, and somebody came by in a boat and said, "Hey, get in the boat, and we'll save you." And he said, "No, the Lord will save me." So the water kept getting deeper and deeper, and he had to go up on the second floor, and the boat came by again. And he said, no thank you, the God's going to save me. And finally the water got so deep that he had to climb out the window and get up on the roof of the house. And here came the boat again, and he said, "Do you want on the boat?" And he said, "No, God's going to save me." And finally, a helicopter came by and dropped a line down to him just as the water, as he's standing up on the house, and dropped a line to him. And he said, "No, thank you. God's going to save me." And as the story goes, he died and he went up to the pearly gates. And he said, Peter said, "How come God let me die?" And he said, "Well, he sent the boat twice and he sent a helicopter, and you wouldn't take either one of them." So God saves us in different ways. Sometimes we don't recognize it. Had I been Jonah, and they threw me over the side of the ship, that's what he told them to do. He said, "That's the only way I can save you people is for y'all to throw me out of the boat." You know, that's the first time that we see anything at all out of Jonah. Now that God wants him to do, and that's save other people, and that's what Jonah did there. If it hadn't been for Jonah being thrown overboard, the rest of them would have perished on that ship. And that's all God wanted him to do in the first place, was save people from destruction. It just wasn't in that direction. And so we have to recognize the fish or the whale for what it is. If they had thrown me overboard out there in the ocean and I didn't have any means of salvation at all, and I saw a big whale swimming toward me, I would have never recognized it as my salvation. I would have said, "This is the culmination of my destruction." Now, it might be deserved, as it was in Jonah's case, but it was his salvation. Sometimes we can't see our own salvation because it doesn't look what we think that it ought to look like. There were people in Noah's day that could not see the ark as their method of salvation. Noah preached and preached and preached till he was blue in the face, and he just couldn't convince people that the ark was their means of salvation. And there are people that way. When, you know, when Israel was backed up against the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army was coming at them, somebody said, no, what are we going to do? Or rather, Moses, what are we going to do? We're backed up against the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army is right in front of us. They couldn't see the means of their salvation. And he said, the Red Sea is our salvation. They just couldn't see it, and people can't see it today either. Now, I know people today that cannot look at baptism as their salvation. When it is their deliverance, and a lot of people are going to be destroyed because they didn't accept it. Now, there's that box again. We just have a problem with that box. We just can't get away from the box. We need to get out of the box, and we need to reach out to others. We need to see what our mission is. I asked you this morning, have you got this little box that you live in? Are you comfortable? How far away do you get from the box before you say, this is far enough, I'm about to turn loose, and I can't stand that? Well, what is it that makes it like that? Well, it's a phobia. Another word for it, fear. Some people are afraid of snakes. I would say there's more people afraid of snakes than not afraid of snakes. And some people don't seem to be afraid of them at all. Now, I know people that have this phobia, they have this fear of being in a close place. They call that claustrophobia. You know, my wife's got touched that. I've seen my wife several times, even though it wasn't a real close place, she had to get up and go outside and take a deep breath. And she's got a grandson that's exactly the opposite. He keeps them wide open places. He's very comfortable. In a small area, you get him outside on the hookers and bottom of the people have got different phobias. Now, some people can't go in high places. It scares them to death. We've got all these different phobias, but most of us have got a phobia about getting out of that box and reaching out to people that are lost. And John finally made it to them. I'm going to be the rest of the story. John finally made it to them. And we got up there to preach the 8th word sermon. Don't you wish you could hear one? An 8th word sermon. He said, you have 40 days, and God's going to destroy you. One of the shortest sermons in the Bible. And it was effective. And they did. They were so effective. They believed it so much. Not only did they put sackcloth on themselves, they even put sackcloth on their animals. Now, animals can't sin. But that king, he wanted to make sure God saw what they were trying to do. It was that dirt. It was that dirt.
Something that we can do to help you in your
David's a Christian walker. You're already a Christian. Will you come? Gene Wallace, I hear from all.